The strike was once labor's most potent and oft-used weapon. Nothing drove home a union's demand better than the refusal to work if that demand was not met.
Early strikes could result in violence. There were confrontations like the Homestead Steel Strike of 1892 near Pittsburgh. That culminated in a battle between strikers and private security agents.
But gradually, over the years, workers gained muscle. By 1937, auto workers could successfully strike GM in Flint, Michigan. They were led by a charismatic and iron-willed man named Walter Reuther.
I didn't join the labor movement to sit on my fat bottom. I joined the labor movement to get on with a job for which the labor movement was organized.
In the years after the Second World War, it would be common for Americans to wake up to news of yet another labor strike.
The production line ground to a halt at the Buick plant of General Motors today in Detroit. GM blamed a work stoppage in a steel plant, Midland Steel in Cleveland.
There were newspaper strikes, like the one in New York City, which resulted in Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia taking to the airwaves to read the comics.
Now, children, I know you're all disappointed today that you didn't get the funnies. So gather around. Here's Dick Tracy.
Sometimes the government stepped in to counteract the growing power of labor. A post-war railroad strike threatened to grind the whole economy to a halt, and President Harry Truman was forced to clamp down.
Unless the railroads are manned by returning strikers, I shall immediately undertake to run them by the Army of the United States.
Those rail workers resisted, and Truman drafted all the strikers into the Army and forced them back to work.
But for the most part, the threat of strikes became as effective as strikes themselves.